Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, curious minds. Today we're diving deep into a really fantastic story, captured beautifully in the Jewel memoir, When the Game Was Ours. It's co-authored by, well, two NBA absolute legends, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, along with the great sports writer Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, and this isn't just, you know, a sports book. It really digs into ambition, rivalry, competition.
Exactly. And how those intense rivalries can sometimes, almost unexpectedly, lead to really deep friendships.
It's fascinating.
So our mission today for this deep dive is to unpack how these two giants didn't just change basketball forever, but also kind of redefined what it means to be a rival, and maybe even a friend.
We'll look at their backgrounds, which couldn't be more different.
Right, those legendary court battles, right, and how that relationship shifted from, well, pretty serious animosity to this incredible mutual respect. And there are some really universal lessons in there for all of us, I think.
Definitely. And what's great about the book being a dual memoir is you get both sides unfiltered. Oh. You get Bird's view, stoic, perfectionist, you know, from tiny French Lick, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And then you get Magic Charismatic, the showman from Lansing, Michigan. Their lives just became so intertwined. And honestly, they basically rescued the NBA when it was really struggling.
They really did elevate it to something else entirely.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start this journey right at the beginning. Their early lives, like you said, just worlds apart.
Absolutely, night and day.
Larry Bird's story starts in French Lick, Indiana. Tiny town, maybe 2,000 people.
Yeah, very small town. Grew up poor, one of six kids.
And the book talks quite movingly about his father's struggles with alcoholism and then his tragic suicide when Larry was only 18. That must have been, well, devastating.
Yeah, profoundly shaping. You can see how that kind of pain and maybe desperation got channeled into basketball. He talks about practicing until his hands literally bled.
Right.
And his mom, Georgia, working multiple jobs, she really instilled that work ethic, that self-reliance in him.
He even said something like, "I just wanted to get out of French Lick and never be poor again." That's powerful motivation right there.
Yeah, it puts his drive into perspective.
Then you flip the coin and you've got Magic Johnson in Lansing, Michigan. Big family, 10 kids, but described as really loving, warm.
Full of encouragement, music, just a different atmosphere altogether. His dad worked two jobs, mom cleaned offices, so they weren't wealthy, but the household vibe was just positive.
And that famous smile, the leadership, that came out early, right?
Yeah.
Got the nickname Magic at 15.
Yeah, a local sports writer saw him play and was just blown away. His motivation, it seemed to come from a different place than Bird's. More about joy, lifting people up, you know?
Sharing the spotlight, almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basketball was his stage to bring joy, to entertain.
So that contrast is just, it's fundamental, isn't it? Bird's drive seems almost like survival, proving himself against the odds.
The solitary mission, yeah.
Whereas Magic's is about shared success, radiating that positivity, feeding off the crowd.
And those early years really set the stage for their public images, didn't they? Bird, the quiet, fundamental guy, the technician, Magic, the smiling maestro, Mr. Showtime.
And even getting to college wasn't straightforward for either of them. Bird went to Indiana University first, but felt totally overwhelmed.
Like a fish out of water, he said.
Dropped out, went home, worked as a garbage collector for almost a year.
Can you imagine? It just shows how far he came, that resilience.
Then he finds his place at the smaller Indiana State, leads them on this unbelievable, undefeated streak.
Right up to the championship game.
Meanwhile, Magic stays closer to home, leads Michigan State, building his own legend there.
And that, of course, sets up the first huge moment in their story, the first time the whole nation really saw them clash.
Pivotal event number one, the 1979 NCAA championship game.
March 26, 1979, Bird's undefeated Indiana State versus Magic's Michigan State, national title on the line.
And Magic's team gets the win, 75-64.
But the score, that's almost secondary to the impact, right?
Totally. It was the most watched college basketball game ever. Mm-hmm. 35 million people.
Insane numbers. It basically launched their rivalry onto the national stage. Instantly, you had these two defined characters. Magic, the charismatic winner. Bird, the stoic, maybe slightly tragic, underdog.
And Bird admits in the book, that loss haunted him. It gave him this laser focus. Mm. Beat Magic Johnson.
Yeah, it became his driving force for years. That loss needed to be avenged.
So college was just the beginning. They both entered the NBA in 79, and like you said, the league was not in great shape.
No, low ratings, drug problems, image issues.
Yeah.
It needed saving. And these two arriving at the same time. It was perfect timing.
Bird lands with the Boston Celtics. storied team but needed a spark, and he provides it instantly.
Well, immediately. It takes him from 29 wins to 61 wins his first year, Rookie of the Year.
And he just embodied that Boston blue-collar, hardworking identity, didn't he?
Absolutely. No frills, just relentless effort. Leads them to titles in 81, 84, 86. And the stories about his work ethic are legendary. First in, last out, shoot until his hands bled, just like back home.
So while Bird's building this gritty dynasty in Boston, what's Magic doing out on the West Coast?
Magic's igniting Showtime with the Lakers. Totally different vibe. Flashy, fast-paced, no-look passes, just pure entertainment.
And he wins a championship his rookie year, too, famously playing center in the finals.
Yeah, a 6'9" point guard playing center in the NBA Finals because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was injured. Shows his versatility, his will to win.
Incredible. And the Lakers rack up 5 titles in the 80s, 80, 82, 85, 87, 88. The league was suddenly must-see TV again.
And this is where the book really gets into the thick of it. Those 3 head-to-head NBA Finals, 84, 85, 87, these weren't just basketball games.
No, they were cultural battles, right? East Coast grit versus West Coast glamour.
And the book doesn't shy away from how the media often framed it racially, too. Bird as white hope, Magic representing Black America. It added this whole other layer of pressure and significance that both guys definitely felt.
So let's zero in on that second pivotal event, the 1984 NBA Finals. Their first meeting on the biggest stage.
Yeah, and it was a war. 7 games. Incredibly physical, brutal. Boston ends up winning.
Game 4. The Heat game in Boston Garden. Famously hot, no air conditioning.
Right. The Celtics seemed to feed off it, while the Lakers, especially Magic, struggled in that heat and with the physicality.
So this series, it deepens the rivalry, the dislike even.
Oh, for sure. But it also, maybe counterintuitively, built a new kind of respect. Bird finally got his revenge for 79, which he openly admits he needed.
And for Magic, that loss was crushing. He got called Tragic Johnson by some.
Devastating. But the book shows how it forced him to change. He realized he had to get tougher, mentally and physically, to beat Bird in Boston. So that loss actually made him a better, fiercer competitor in the long run.
It's amazing how they push each other, even in defeat.
Constantly raising the bar.
And amidst all that intensity, you start seeing these little cracks of humanity, like that Converse commercial story from 85.
Oh, that's a great anecdote. They film it in French Lick, Bird's hometown. Magic admits he was nervous going into enemy territory.
I bet.
So Bird's mom, Georgia, makes them lunch. Magic, being Magic, is charming, complimenting the food, chatting her up.
Naturally.
And Bird leans over, deadpan, and says something like, "Magic, you say one more word to my mother, I'm gonna kill you."
Oh my God. Magic must have frozen.
For a second, yeah. Then he sees the twinkle in Bird's eye, and they both just burst out laughing.
That's brilliant. Just breaking the ice, seeing the person behind the rival.
Exactly. It humanized the opponent, didn't stop them competing fiercely, but it laid a little groundwork for something more down the road.
So the 80s wear on, the battles continue, but then their bodies start to, well, feel the effects of all those years.
Yeah, especially Bird. His playing style was so demanding, led to chronic back problems. He played through incredible pain, eventually forced him to retire in 92.
But before Bird retired, something else happened in 1991. A truly shocking moment that changed everything.
Yeah, the third pivotal event. Magic's HIV announcement, November 7, 1991.
Just stunned the world. Announcing he had HIV and was retiring immediately.
It was seismic, way beyond sports. It hit cultural perceptions, stigmas around HIV. There was so much fear and misunderstanding back then.
And for Bird, how did he react?
The book says he was just floored. He describes breaking down, crying, realizing in that instant the rivalry just evaporated. It was all concern for Magic, the person.
Wow.
And Magic's courage in going public, it turned him into this global health advocate overnight. Saved lives, undoubtedly. It really puts everything else into perspective, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It just dissolved any remaining on-court animosity. And then, almost poetically, they get this chance to connect in a totally new way.
Right. The fourth pivotal event, the 1992 Dream Team Olympics in Barcelona.
For the first time ever, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson are teammates on arguably the greatest team ever assembled.
What a moment. They channeled all that competitive fire, but now towards the same goal. Shared success, not zero sum.
It was like the perfect ending to their playing rivalry, wasn't it?
Oh.
Solidifying that friendship that had been building underneath.
Yeah, they saw that same crazy competitiveness, that same love for the game in each other, but now they were on the same side. It forged a bond that lasts to this day.
So when you step back and look at their whole story, what does it tell us? You see these two very different philosophies about life, about success.
Totally. Bird's worldview, shaped by that tough upbringing, I'm not comfortable being comfortable. Talent wasn't enough. It was relentless work. Respect was earned, period.
Methodical, disciplined, almost unforgiving in his approach. Driven to prove people wrong, escape his past. He studied the game like a science.
Then magic. His philosophy was more like joyful dominance. Remember, excellence is not a skill. It's an attitude. Winning with flair, creativity, making everyone around him better, lifting the crowd.
Expansive, optimistic. He saw the court as like a stage for collective art.
And their motivations might have started differently. Bird's maybe from pain, Magic's from joy, but they met at this point of just obsessive determination to win.
That quote from Bird is amazing. First thing I always did when I got a box score was search for Magic's line first, before I even looked at my own.
Right. That mutual obsession just pushed them both higher than they probably would have gone alone. They were the ultimate benchmark for each other.
Even how they handle adversity shows their personalities. Bird, grim determination, play through pain, more work.
Yeah, stoic resolve, Magic, resilient optimism, turning his HIV diagnosis into this global advocacy mission. Two different ways of facing immense challenges, both incredibly effective.
So, thinking about our listeners, what are the big takeaways here? What can we learn from Bird and Magic beyond basketball?
Well, first, I think it's that competition, healthy competition, can elevate everyone. Mm. Their rivalry clearly shows that pushing against your toughest opponent makes you better.
Yeah. Your greatest rival can actually be your greatest teacher. Both of them said as much in the book. They studied each other constantly to improve themselves.
Exactly. Second takeaway, respect and rivalry absolutely can coexist. They went from bitter opponents to genuine friends. Recognizing the greatness in your competitor doesn't weaken you. It can strengthen the connection.
That quiet phone call Bird made to Magic after the 84 finals, after that brutal loss, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
It really does. Even at the peak of the fight, there was that underlying human respect.
Which leads to the third lesson. Our shared humanity transcends the competition. Bird's reaction to Magic's diagnosis. He just stripped everything else away.
Yeah, a powerful reminder of what's truly important. Health, connection. Sometimes it takes a shock like that to see it clearly.
And one more, maybe. Authenticity is key. They were so different, but both wildly successful because they were true to themselves. Bird was Bird. Magic was Magic.
Absolutely. They didn't try to fit a mold. Bird's quiet fire, Magic's infectious joy, both worked. Both were celebrated. It shows that being yourself is actually a strength.
So, the story of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, it's just this incredible testament to how rivalry and respect can transform people. It feels like a really important story for right now, actually.
I agree. It reminds us you can compete incredibly hard without losing sight of the opponent's humanity.
Yeah.
And that you can find common ground even with people who seem like your total opposite.
In a world that feels increasingly polarized, their journey rivals, separated by geography, race, style, everything turning into deep friendship, it really hits home. Our shared passions, our shared humanity, they can be stronger than the things that divide us.
A truly powerful message.
So here's something to think about. Consider a rival or a competitor in your own life, someone who really pushed you. What did you learn from that relationship? Not just about your work or your sport, but maybe about yourself and about connection. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.